Therefore, arau unto Lord Hari, Bhagavati, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhaktin, devotional service, Kuruta, execute, Dhanava, O my dear friends, sons of demons, Ama Aukamyena, just as one's own self. Sarvatra. Everywhere. Sarvabhuta Atmani. Who is situated as the soul and super soul of all living entities. Ishvare. Unto the Supreme Lord. The Controller. Translation, my dear friends, O sons of the demons. In the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the super soul of all living entities. Purport, the word atmaupamyena refers to thinking others to be like oneself. One can very intelligently conclude that without devotional service, without becoming Krishna conscious, one cannot become happy. Therefore, the duty of all devotees is to preach Krishna consciousness everywhere, all over the world, because all living entities without Krishna consciousness are suffering the pangs of material existence. To preach Krishna consciousness is the best welfare activity. Indeed, it is described by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as para upakara, work for the true benefit of others. The activities of para upakara have been especially entrusted to those who have taken birth in India as human beings, Bharata Bhumite Hoyla Manusya Janma Jaha Janma Sattak Parikara Parapupakar. The entire world is suffering for want of Krishna consciousness. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised all human beings born in India to make their lives perfect by Krishna consciousness and then preach the gospel of Krishna consciousness all over the world so that others may become happy by executing the principles of Krishna consciousness. Translation, my dear friends, O sons of the demons, in the same favorable way that one sees himself and takes care of himself, take to devotional service to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is present everywhere as the super soul of all living entities. So we have this word, Atmaupamyena, made up of two words, Atman, Upamyena. Upama means literally likeness. It often refers to a comparison. Upama. He is like that. The tiger, the man is like a tiger because he's ferocious. So it's upama, comparison. So here, what is the comparison to the self? That is, you serve the Lord as you would serve yourself. So, what this implies is generally everybody takes care of themselves and they don't take care of anybody else. That's their ultimate interest. They're looking after their own interests. Why? Because the self is dearest. Ultimately, we have our body, which we think is the self, etc. And compared to others, ultimately, the self is the object of concern for everyone. We want to preserve ourselves rather than others. That's the normal condition of life, of course. We will see extraordinary examples of people who sacrifice themselves for others, or mothers who sacrifice themselves for their children, whatever. So we see examples. These exceptions are, of course, based on the fact of identity with the other person due to an affectionate relationship. So we think of that person as most dear. So we have these sort of exceptional cases in the material world. This, of course, isn't really spiritual, because within that sacrifice for another person due to love, every jiva has its personal interest also. It's not pure. That love is not pure. So therefore, it is not actually spiritual. So, the real object of love we can say, is the self, not the body, or extensions of the body in terms of persons who make you happy. First, we can say, okay, it's the self or the jiva. That's the object of dearness. So that's what's stated in the Bhagavatam. The self is more dear than anything else. However, then there is the other person, the Supreme Lord, who is not the self, who is another self. So the peculiar nature of existence is that we have many, many, many atmas or jivas. Each is a center of enjoyment. I want to be happy, I want to be happy. And based on this, we build up our own little world of body and friends, etc. In this realm of property. And then we have, apart from all these, we have another similar entity, that is the Supreme Lord, who is also Atma. Very similar in many ways to the many Atmas, is the one Atma, the Supreme Lord. Conscious, enjoyer, or experiencer, active doer, etc. But there's also a difference. That one Atma, the Supreme Lord, is only one, and the jivas are many. That one Atma is Ishvara, as I mentioned in this verse. He is the ultimate controller of all the jivas, in spite of the fact that they are independent in the sense of having their own identity. Still, ultimately, under the control of the Supreme Lord. They cannot move, they cannot be conscious, they cannot have experiences without the permission of the Lord. So there is dependence there of the jiva on the Supreme Lord. And of course we can say that the jiva is Anu, the Supreme Lord is Vibhu. Supreme Lord is great, he is all-pervading, he encompasses everything. And the individual Atma does not. He is small particle, so to speak. Though, of course, we cannot think of a particle as a material particle because that's material space and time. Nevertheless, the jiva, in comparison to the Lord, is nothing. He is powerless compared to the Supreme Lord, even though he does have some power, consciousness, etc. So, in terms of, let's say, quantity or capability, much less capability than the Supreme Lord in terms of knowledge, doing, experiencing, etc. So, we have the jivas trying to be happy, trying to get their happiness for themselves. Then we have the Supreme Lord, the other entity. So the construction of existence is that we have all these little jivas and we have the Supreme Powerful Lord. And the only way in which that jiva can really be happy is to recognize the position of that Supreme Lord. Recognize, of course, means recognize favorably, which means we develop an affectionate relationship with the Lord. And by doing so, then we can really experience happiness. So there's a condition for our happiness. The problem of jivas in the material world is they don't accept that condition. We want to be happy, but we don't want to accept the Supreme Lord and get the happiness through Him. We want to get it independently, directly. This is the problem in the material world. This is what we call ajnana, avidya, ignorance. So, this is the nature of jivas in the material world. So, Prahlad is trying to convince the sons of demons to understand that one has to give up that conception and admit the supreme position of the Lord. It is difficult for people in the material world. It was difficult for Rani Kasipu to do so. He doesn't want to recognize the Supreme Lord. Even if he sees Vishnu, he says, he's not really the Supreme Lord. He's a material entity. He's just a great powerful king. He got that position because he did some punyas. That's all. So he doesn't want to recognize him as any different from himself. So the devotee of the Lord and the condition for real happiness is to recognize the true position of the Lord as opposed to the jiva. So this is what we call knowledge as opposed to ignorance. So in that sense, knowledge is necessary for the person doing devotional service. He has to understand the difference between the jiva and the Supreme Lord. Of course, the secondary aspect of knowledge as the jiva is not the material body. That is the jnana of the jnanis. But the jnana of the devotee is that the jiva is the servant of the Supreme Lord. So it's a different type of knowledge. Of course, it includes the other knowledge also, you're not the material body. But the more important aspect is the jiva is the servant of the Lord. So though the jiva, the dearmost person for the jiva in the material world is only himself, this consciousness has to shift before we can actually be happy. As long as we think, me, 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 then we're stuck in the material world with an excuse body, and then we ultimately suffer, like the demons. So, the jiva has to change his attitude and accept the Supreme Lord. So, fortunately, the Lord does not require a complete change immediately. He is very satisfied if a little change takes place. You may have some demonic element in you, but you also have a little favorable element. So when there's a little favorable element, then the Lord is very pleased. And with that little favorable element, then one can practice bhakti. It is not pure bhakti in one sense, because it is not prema, but by that little beginning, one can attain prema. So this is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He gives the jivas a chance. Once they get a little bit of favorability towards the Supreme Lord. So, therefore, that first recognition of the position of the Supreme Lord is necessary. Then we can begin to establish a relationship, a positive relationship with the Lord. And this becomes the process of bhakti is mentioned here. He is advising the sons of the demons to take to the process of bhakti. And it is to the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan. Hari. It is not to anyone material, not to a devata. And there's a relationship implied between self and Supreme Lord. Worship Supreme Lord. So the jiva worships the Supreme Lord. It doesn't imply oneness at all. And of course, the word Bhagavan here indicates that the object of bhakti is that Supreme Lord manifested with his various qualities and form and activities. As we know, the Prabhupada translates Bhagavan as Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means personality means that a person has qualities and activities. We've never seen a person that doesn't have form, quality, and activities. It doesn't mean Brahman or anything like that. So there is duality in the sense of the jiva worshipping somebody else, that is, Supreme Lord. This is quite distinct from jnana, where there is no distinction between atma and paramatma or anything. It is just, I am that conscious entity. We realize that we are non-material. And then that non-material identity merges with the material entity of God, Brahman, God in a very vague form. And then we think, oh, I am Brahman. So, and there is no duality. I perceive anything at that point. There's only consciousness. I exist. For the devotee, we perceive self, we perceive Supreme Lord. And therefore you can say, you should worship Supreme Lord. And that Supreme Lord is filled with all wonderful qualities. by his Achintya Shakti. Though he is one entity, which means ultimately the one entity should be everywhere, all pervading. By his Achintya Shakti, he manifests difference. That is, he can simultaneously be one entity everywhere, spread everywhere, and simultaneously he can exist in the spiritual world, and we can have through his Maya Shakti, the material world, and we can have the Jiva Shakti with all the little particles who are recognizing difference with the Supreme Lord, and we can have the whole spiritual world where we have the Dhamma, which is different from the Lord, we perceive it as different, etc. So, it is through the Achintya Shakti of the Lord that he manifests his form, qualities, activities, etc. And all these other things, the Jivas, material world, etc. And at the same time, is everything. He is one. Simultaneously one and different. So he does this through Shakti, by his inconceivable powers. So this puts him in the supreme position as being the only entity in one sense. He is one and only entity. It also provides him with, which doesn't contradict Jnana, which says, there's only one entity, Brahman. And at the same time, it allows for variety. That is, Supreme Lord has form, qualities, activities, etc. Plus, it gives rise to duality, Jiva, Supreme Lord, material world, etc. And we don't have to say they're all illusory. So that is the because of the inconceivable Shakti of the Supreme Lord, that both states can exist in him. So, therefore, the position of the devotee is to worship, recognize that distinct Supreme Lord as a conscious entity who is in a higher position, and establish a relationship of love with him. That is called bhakti. And as previously mentioned, they should be amala, they should be pure. We don't want to bring in desires for ourselves, which means ultimately material desires. We don't want to mix it. Okay? So if this is the process, the pure process, then we get the proper result. The jiva can actually attain his bliss. And if he doesn't follow this process, either mix it or doesn't do the process at all, then he cannot get that bliss. He will remain dissatisfied. So therefore, the other processes like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga, they do not give ananda in the true sense of the term, because they are compromises. So the only position of true happiness for the jiva is this position of bhakti. So once the jiva has recognized this, that he cannot be happy, then without performing service to the Supreme Lord, as he practices, then he realizes the nature of the people in the material world. They are suffering. And just as the Lord tries to deliver all the people in the material world by giving knowledge and bhakti, so the devotee also does the same thing. The Lord has his quality of mercy, and the devotee develops the same mercy as the Lord. So just as the Lord mercifully bestows bhakti to the jiva, so that jiva likes to mercifully bestow bhakti to others. So the devotee recognizes that it is necessary to spread the mercy of the Supreme Lord everywhere. So the devotee becomes the prime means of spreading the Lord's mercy. He recognizes the Lord's mercy and simultaneously understands that he is the medium for the mercy of the Lord to other people. He acts as the medium to spread it. In other words, bhakti arises from the sarup of the Supreme Lord. It is present in a jiva, and then that jiva can give that shakti to others. So this is what we mean by Prabhupada quotes here, para upakar, that you should give benefit to all other people in the form of bhakti. So it is the jiva, the devotee jiva in the material world, who gives this bhakti to others. Usually, of course, when the Lord comes as avatar, he may directly do something, but generally, at other times, it is the devotees of the Lord that do this. So because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is especially merciful, he likes to deliver even the most fallen souls and aparadis in Kali Yuga, he is especially enthusiastic to spread bhakti everywhere in the form of Nam Sankirtan. So for this reason, he ordered all of his devotees, including Haridas and Chanda, you go out and you just tell everybody, encourage everybody to chant, and you inspire everybody. So in this mood, they went out, and of course they met the aparadis, Jagai and Madan, and said, well, we have to follow the order. So they told them to chant. And ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered them by his mercy. So because of the enthusiasm of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to deliver even the unqualified people, therefore, the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are enthusiastic to preach this movement everywhere. And so we find that enthusiasm in our acharyas. We see it in Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, and Srila Prabhupada. They enthusiastically try to follow the instructions of Lord Chaitanya and spread the movement everywhere. Now, of course, we can't force anybody to take to the process of bhakti and chant, but we can at least spread the message everywhere and encourage them in all ways possible, make them favorable. So in this way, the devotees are engaged in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. Simultaneously, of course, with the preaching, they also have to develop their own bhakti. So there is Name Muchi and Jive Doya. One should develop a taste for the name, and simultaneously one should give out the name. So the degree of one's taste for the name will determine the effect that one's preaching will have. The more taste one has for the name, then the more powerful will be the effect that one's preaching to others. So, in this way, the two things will go together, with self-development and preaching to others. We cannot really separate the two. We see that Prahlad also had the same compassion. And because of this, he preached to the sons of demons. He didn't have to do that because it was a threat to his father. And his father says, you do this, then I will punish you, torture you, and whatever. Nevertheless, Prahlad kept on preaching to the students anyway. He was thinking of their welfare. And after Hiranyakasipu was killed, then still Prahlad was thinking, oh, what is the welfare of my father? He shouldn't get a bad birth, etc. We have to do something for him also. And he was thinking of all the other demons as well. So he had great compassion also, not in the sense of simply preserving their material bodies, but compassion in trying to deliver them through the process of bhakti. So that is the real para upakar, the helping other people's process of bhakti. Well, a certain degree that does happen, because Prabhupada went to the West. And even now in America, you'll find that many temples are mostly Indians in the temple. So it does take place. And even in Australia, you'll find that the congregation is largely Indian, which is a criticism once. That's it. Why are you preaching to the Indians? So Indians go to the other places, and they're the ones that get preached to, and they become devotees more than the other people. Of course, it doesn't exclude others also. That's particularly true in Western countries, America, Australia, etc. To Japan, it's another extent, where there's Indian communities. Other places, it's not like that, because we have Russia, for instance, where it's mainly Russians, not Indians. There's not many Indians there. But some places, no Indians, so therefore it's mainly local people or whatever. And that's Eastern Europe and Russia and all that area. But there is, let's say, a large Indian segment. Of course, we can also take this word in another way. It's Bharat, meaning the whole world in one sense. If you're born as a human being in Bharata rather than in other Varshas, like Kimpurusha Varsha and other places, then because Lord Chaitanya appears in Bharat, he appears on this particular Varsha. And then he says, spread the holy name here. Other Varshas, he doesn't appear. So there's no preaching of Lord Chaitanya's movement in Kimpurusha Varsha, Kuru Varsha, and all these other Varshas on Jambadweep or the other Dweepas even. So it is confined to Bharat Varsha, the preaching. So in that sense, we can take the bigger Bharat Varsha also. That is the Purushartha. To become happy is the ultimate Purushartha of Artha, Dhamma, Kama, Moksha, and even Prema. Ultimately, the jiva's innate tendency is bliss. And we cannot take that away from the jiva also. So it's either material happiness of moksha, or happiness of Prema, one or the other. It's there. But the condition for Prema is that the main goal to not be my happiness. The main goal is the happiness of the Supreme Lord. Consequently, we get our happiness. Okay? So if we separate the two, then it's no longer bhakti. So then the principal goal of the devotee is to satisfy the Supreme Lord. Anukunam Krishna Nusidama. That's the main activity. Okay? The final result is jiva becomes happy. But if we think of my happiness, then we cannot perform the bhakti properly. It will become either mixed bhakti or something else. Okay. So the pure devotees, let's say the people in Vrindavan, Raja, etc., they're never thinking of their happiness. But they actually get the highest happiness. They're thinking only of how to please Krishna. But the gopis are thinking how to please Krishna. They're not thinking of how can I be happy. How to produce Krishna. But they get the highest happiness through that. So yes, the happiness is there as we can say the ultimate result for the jiva. But the goal or to get there, one has to have that complete pure intention of pleasing the Lord. Then it results. So if we mix the two together, then we'll get a type of mixed one. And some Kubja or someone. Kubja had her own happiness in mind also, so therefore her bhakti is not considered so good.
But in material love also, it's also the same thing. They say that I'm not doing this for myself, I'm doing it for others.
Yeah.
So is it imperfect in the sense that it is temporary and this is eternal? Is that the difference or is there another difference?
Yeah. And ultimately, in the material world, the highest we can go is a sattva guna type of compassion, maybe, where we do things for others for the purpose of helping others rather than ourselves, etc. But we do know that even in sattva guna there is attachment and identity with your material body still. So therefore, my body is also a consideration even there. So I do this, we're doing this work to satisfy our material body, gross and subtle. Probably on the subtle level rather than the gross level, but it's still to do with material identity at that stage. So it's not on the stage of the Atma's satisfaction.
Narendra Sri Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. 요즘에 이제 세세 박대는 성실한 프로그램이 큰 것이
아니라 뭐 프로그램이
ये इनवाइट लिंक का जहाँ से पता है।